Hello and welcome to Paranormal or What podcast with me, your host, Michaela Ford. Hi, paranormal peeps. How have you been doing this week? I'm doing really well, actually, and I'm very excited to announce something new that I'm doing. So my friend Ash Ellis from Pursuit of the Paranormal podcast and UFO Identified Northeast Division has set up a new group of UFO identified in the southeast. And guess who's going to be the person who's going to meet and greet everybody? It's me! So, if you like to talk about all things UFO, if you've spotted some UFOs, or even if you just want to talk about it and mull it over a pint, we're going to be meeting on the first Monday of every month in Chichester, at a pub called The Hole in the Wall at 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. So if you know anybody who lives in the Chichester, Portsmouth area, maybe even over to Brighton, I mean, it's only an hour from there, or in the other direction, Southampton, get them to come along. Get them to come along and have a chat about UFOs with me in the Hole in the Wall on Monday, the 6th of May. That's all very exciting. And also, this time last week, I was sat in a little theatre in London called the Tabernacle Theatre. And I was sat listening to the medium Cindy Kayser do a gallery reading. Now, I've been, I don't like the word fan because I think it just sounds like you're a bit unhinged, she says, thinking about UFOs and dogmen and stuff like that. But anyway, you know, we all have our own standards. I don't like the word fan. So I am, I like Cindy Kayser. I really believe that she has talent. I believe that she's genuine. And I really like watching her on TV and I like listening to what she says. So I really wanted to go. And I actually paid, you know, quite a lot of money for me to have my presence there at the gallery reading. And it all went terribly wrong on the way there. So I put the Tabernacle Theatre into my phone, as you do, on Google Maps. And for some reason, unbeknown to me, I can only think that there was some reason that the universe did this to me. But it told me that the Tabernacle Theatre was in Angel, even though I'd already looked it up before and I knew it was in Notting Hill. I don't know why that happened. Anyway, so I went to Angel, got there at 6:30, thinking, oh, great, I'm really early. It doesn't start till 7:00. Looked around and looked around and looked around, couldn't find it, researched it on my maps again, using the postcode this time, to find it was 40 minutes away from where I was. Well, I nearly actually died on the spot with disappointment. And before I burst out crying, I just had a little word with myself and I said, come on, Michaela, if it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be for whatever reason, but just give it your best shot. So, I mean, I'm not very fit at the moment, I have to say. My gym membership has gone unused, but last Thursday, I ran quite a long way. So I ran all the way down through Angel Tube Station, down the steps. And if anybody's been there, you know that there's a lot of steps. Jumped on a train, then jumped on another tube, ran up the steps at the station. By the time I got out of the station, it was basically 7:02. I'd managed to make up a load of time and it was meant to be a 9-minute walk to the theatre. And I kind of ran and walked really fast because by this point, my anxiety was so high at this point that, you know, when it takes your energy from you, when you're so anxious, you just literally don't have any energy. So I was cursing myself all the way and I got there at 7:05. And this lovely, lovely man on the door let me in because I thought, oh no, it's a theatre, they're not going to let me in, they're going to tell me that I can't see it, blah blah blah. Anyway, me and two other ladies were late, so we got in, and it was amazing. And do you know what, the week before I'd been doing a lot of meditation, and I'd been asking out to the universe and my guardian angels and my spirit guide, who's called Josephine, who's my great grandmother. That's a whole other story about a reading I had from a medium that was my mum's friend years and years ago, and everything she said came true. And years ago, she told me, we had this amazing connection. She held my hand and it was like electricity running through us. It was one of the most incredible experiences I've ever had. And she said to me, Patsy said to me, you can do this. One day you'll be able to do this. And I've always doubted it, even though I have lots and lots of weird things happen. I've got incredible intuition. There have been countless occasions in my life where I've just known something is going to happen without any shadow of a doubt. Like my husband's just got a new job after a very difficult time over the last few months and couple of years, and I knew he met this woman in a supermarket who we used to work with, and she mentioned this particular job that was really random and not likely that he would apply for it. But I knew that it was meant to be, that he bumped into this ex-colleague in the supermarket, and lo and behold, a few months later, and a lot of hoops have been jumped through, but he's just been given his contract for that job this week, which is going to make a huge difference to our lives. And you know when you just know something. Anyway, I've digressed quite a lot. Anyway, so I was sat in the reading with Cindy Kayser, and she starts asking about somebody called Annie. And so we're all sat there. And you know, if you've ever been to a reading, it starts off and you think, oh, it's quite vague. But then what happens is it gets more and more specific. And you think to yourself, could she just be guessing that, you know? Could it be that, you know, someone's dad's died of cancer, like sadly a lot of people do, and a lot of people work in this area and blah, blah, blah. But it gets more and more specific, and then you start to think, well, it can't be anything else but this person in my life. And then when she knows it's you, she tells you even more specific things about the person who's come through. So I'm sat there and she's going, there's someone called Annie. And she's shouting in my ear, Annie, Annie, Annie. And so we're all sat there and I'm sat there going, oh, can't be me. I had a great Auntie Annie, but I doubt if it's her. Now, the thing that I'm going to tell you is when you have a reading, the people who you expect to come through often don't come through, because I had really random people coming through. So she was saying, Annie, Annie, Annie. And then she said, there are lots and lots of children around this person who I need to speak to. Loads of children, just children everywhere. And then after a while, she got very insistent. She said, it's definitely somebody here. And this Annie really wants to speak to you. She said, right, I'm going to put Annie to the side for a minute. This was after about 10 minutes and nobody was owning up to anyone called Annie. And then she said, right, there's a gentleman with me and it's someone's father or grandfather, and they are surrounded by smoke. They smoked all their lives. And I thought, oh, well, that could be my dad or my granddad. So then she said, oh, they worked in a steel factory and they started work at a very young age. And I thought, oh, that could be my granddad, because that fits. So she narrowed it down to two or three people, and then she came to me and she was telling me all sorts about my granddad, which was true. And he said he was very proud of me because he'd never had an education, and he was proud that I'd gone so far in education and done okay for myself educationally. And so then she said, you know, this Annie's still shouting in my ear. And she said, this Annie's saying that somebody is to do with children. And at this point, she was talking to me and giving me the reading in front of everybody about my granddad. And I said, well, I don't know what my Auntie Annie did, because I was very young when I knew her. And she said, it doesn't have to be her. It might be you or somebody concerned with you. Do you have anything to do with children? And then I went, oh, yeah, it's me. I'm a teacher. And she kind of went, oh, it is you. It's you. So we got onto that. Anyway, then she told me that my Auntie Margaret was there. My Auntie Margaret passed over a couple of years ago. And she mentioned her by name. She also mentioned the connection with my mum. She says, you've got a connection with somebody with Rose in their name, and I can see roses everywhere. And I said, oh, yeah, my mum's middle name's Rose. And she said, I can see you walking also around a garden with lots of roses in. Now, my granddad was a champion gardener, he was called, and his speciality was growing roses. He had all sorts of roses, and the whole garden was just covered in roses, which might be why my mum's middle name is Rose. And then she said, you're practicing your psychic abilities, and you have a great deal of intuition. And she said, do you know you've got such a group of people following you around? She said, you've got this enormous group of people following you everywhere you go. You're very intuitive. And do you know, it meant so much to me, because I'd ask the universe, if I have any psychic ability that I can work on, please tell Cindy Kayser to tell me about it. And she blooming well did. And I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am about that, because I've got it from Patsy the Medium 20 years ago. And Cindy Kayser told me that I have psychic abilities and strong intuition and a big group of people following me around. So I feel like now I'm kind of justified in working on my spiritual and psychic abilities. So I just wanted to tell you about that, because it just meant so much to me. And it meant so much to me that I'd asked the universe specifically and got that from Cindy. It really meant a lot. So thank you, Cindy, if you ever listen to this. I will be pestering her. she'll probably want me to go away. When we go to the Festival of the Unexplained, which she is going to as well at Bosworth Hall in September, I will be paying for a personal reading from her, and I will be asking her if she'll come on the podcast. So fingers crossed, everybody. I also know that Project Fear are in the country at the moment, and I've been really wanting to speak to them too. Although I'll be very lucky if they agree to that. Now, I need to move on to the case in hand, which is a fantastic new paranormal investigation group from the north of England. Yay, the north! Which is where all the ghosts seem to be. Can I just say that? That as soon as I moved from the north to the south, which was 20 years ago, all the ghosts and haunted places that I've heard about are now back in the north. It's just, it's like they did it behind my back. Oh, she's moved south. We'll all go north now. Oh, dear. Anyway, this group are fabulous. They are called the Northern Frights. And we had a great chat about all things paranormal. So sit back, relax, enjoy a drink of something hot and spicy. A tot, that's the word I was looking for. And enjoy my interview with the Northern Frights. Hello and welcome to Paranormal Law What podcast with me, your host, Michaela Ford. And this week we have the Northern Frights Paranormal Investigation Team, which are Rachel Hughes, Chris Collins and Tom Clarkson King. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Wicked. So I'm going to start off by asking you one by one, The question that everybody always asks everybody, which is, how did you get into the paranormal? So I'm going to go to Rachel first.
Well, I've always had experiences since such a young child. Always seen things, witnessed things, poltergeist activity, things like that. And then as I got older, I became interested in mediumship and psychic abilities. And then I started going to like open circles. And then I started to do some ghost hunting events with haunted houses. So I was with them for about 4 years. So went to lots of locations with different guests. And then the haunted hunts, I met Danny. And then I'm with Chris and Tom. So very good journey, I think.
Yeah, just a natural progression. So
Yeah.
did you always feel like you had some sort of psychic abilities, or did you just want to find out if you had?
I think I had a little bit of something. I mean, obviously experiencing things as a young child, I probably developed back then. But as I got older, I think I wanted to develop a little bit more. So I
Yeah.
went to do some like courses and things like that. I did do some readings during COVID and things like that, but I've kind of drifted away now from all that into paranormal investigations.
Yeah. Oh, very good. I know who to come to then. So what about you, Chris? How did you get into the paranormal?
So even from an early age, I was fascinated. I think I just picked up ghost stories in books and things like that. Things like there's a lot of people in the paranormal field. The first experience was reading a book by Usborne called The World of the Unexplained Ghosts. One of my
I remember
favorites. I used to
that.
read it cover to cover many times over. And I think there's something about like the mystery of what is out there, you know, that kind of keeps you coming back for more. So I'd read every book I could find about ghosts. I would just read it all. I wish I could tell you there was some crazy happenings like Rachel had and that, but unfortunately, no, I never experienced anything as a youngster. It was just the fascination, just read everything, and yeah, that was me hooked.
Oh, it's good. Well, the thing is that it takes all sorts of people, all sorts of different ways to be interested in stuff, and that's what makes it really interesting because nobody comes into it the same way, really. What about you,
No.
Tom?
So it started with my mum. She was sort of interested in it all. She used to watch like Most Haunted, and I used to watch that with her. And then I'd start watching, you know, like Taps and stuff. But then we actually lived in a house when I was about 14 or 15 or something. Just had a few sort of experiences in there, really. So I think it was like a 200 odd year old house that had previously been a care home. My mum had all sorts of things happen then, but the one thing that stood out for me was I got in from school, and at the time that like, my mum was all at work and all my little brothers were in childcare and stuff. And I got in, got up to sort of the top of the stairs, and sort of from behind me I heard a woman, an old woman, say, "Yoo-hoo," like that as I got in.
Wow.
And that sort of just stuck with me, you know, forever then. And it sort of
Yeah.
spiraled from there.
Did you ever hear her again?
No, that was the only other time I've ever heard like a direct voice. But there was another time where I played it off as like a neighbor or something. But there's where the back door used to be, you couldn't really get to it. And there was like three or four loud bangs on the back door. And I looked because there was a window above the door. And like, I thought, who would that be? I looked and there was no one there. So with that one, I, you know, can't tell if it maybe was like a kid playing a prank or whatever and running off, but it would have been a weird spot for him, and they would have had to like be quite quick to get away. But no, the Yoo-hoo one was, so I sort of racked my brain for a while. Like, why would my brain trick me into, I've never said Yoo-hoo in my life, you know, like it's not in my vocabulary, but it almost had like direction to it, you know, like, and distance,
Yeah.
so I could sort of pinpoint where it came from. It was weird. Didn't sound like it was close up. It sounded like it was behind me a good couple of feet.
Yeah.
And
It
I
just
just
reminds me of my parents. My mum used to say "you who" when I was little. But I don't say it because it is quite an old-fashioned thing to say, isn't it? Yoo-hoo.
Weird.
I did say it once to embarrass my son, I have to say. We're driving along and I wound the window down and some of his friends were down the street. I went, yoo-hoo. He's never forgiven me. My next question to you all, although I will say, maybe give you all a turn to answer, is what made you want to start an investigation group together? So I'll go with Chris first this time.
So we all kind of met through a mutual interest in that hotel in Chester that we always talk about, my haunted hotel. I going back, I've always been into the paranormal, but until I was in my late 30s, I didn't know of any local groups or anything that actually did investigations. So when on my doorstep, because I live in Chester, I heard of my haunted hotel opening. I was hooked from day one. I was watching every episode. I always go to Chester and go to the King's Head anyway. So it really sucked me in and kept me coming back for more. So I first met Rachel. Rachel was involved with Danny at the time and later Tom. And I think it was Tom, it was your idea at first, wasn't it? You were looking to start filming and Rachel and I were up for it and the rest is history.
So are you the cameraman, Tom?
No, we'll all sort of play a part in it, really. Sort of equal, sort of being on and off camera and sorting out the
Yeah.
channel and stuff.
And so you've got a channel on YouTube, haven't you, Rachel? Can you tell us a bit about that?
Well, it's Tom's baby, so
All right, go on then, Tom.
I just kind of help out really. Like Tom was saying, we kind of all help each other.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're like a little family really.
Yeah, so I started the channel, I think it's about a year and a half ago, and it sort of inspired from, again, my haunted hotel. They've become really big on YouTube now. And I think that's the only channel really that you can sort of rely on that is somewhat credible, I guess. Or, there's a curated few, I guess, not to put any of our friends in, speculation, but none of that. Yeah. So just something where it's genuine. There's always going to be sort of like people that don't think it's genuine just because you can't really trust anything. But on YouTube, can you really? But
Yeah.
with Chris and Rachel, I know that there's no fakery going on, and sort of in the take the inspiration from sort of my haunted hotel,
I think,
genuine paranormal things, and nothing has to happen every time.
yeah, I think what Tom's getting at is they're quite happy to debunk their own activity in the haunted hotel. And we like that. You should always be looking for a logical explanation. You shouldn't just immediately think any kind of bang or any kind of movement in a room is immediately paranormal. The correct thing, I think, and what those guys do is to go and investigate and find, try and recreate it and find any kind of natural phenomena that could have caused that before you immediately say, yeah, that's a ghost.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. 'Cause it's just I find that when I watch people who just sort of make everything into a ghost or a demon or something, it actually gets quite boring after a while.
You can kind of sense when people are over exaggerating, can't you? The overacting comes across sometimes, so it's not something I'd ever want to do, and I know the other guys are the same.
Yeah. So I know you've done a couple of locations so far. I wonder if I could go to you one by one and ask you about different locations.
Yeah, okay.
So let's start with Tom this time. So you went to the Haunted Museum recently in Stoke, is that right?
I didn't go to this one. It was only
Ah!
Rachel and Chris.
That's
I wish I
just
did.
typical of me, isn't it? Go on then, Rachel. Tell us about it.
Well, we had some strange things happen throughout the night. We used the spirit box, so we had some confirmation from the staff about some names that came through. So that was quite interesting. trying to think now. Oh, I heard like a whisper, but on the camera, it sounds like whistles. So Sean from the Afterlife team asks if they can like repeat the whistle. And I thought it was like a little whisper. And reviewing it back, it was like three little whistles. So that was quite interesting. And then we had something strange going on in the mirror room. So we tried debunking that, didn't we,
We
Chris?
do. We tried everything. We were looking at it from every angle, getting the poor staff there to go recreate it for us and everything.
We did, yeah. So that was quite interesting. So yeah, it was quite an episode that we had to put together.
Yeah.
Yeah, very interesting. Good place to go to.
It really is. I went there about, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks ago, and it's always quite funny because this happened to, I went to the Haunted Hotel as well about 2 weeks ago. And if you asked me just off the top of my head, what was it like on both of those investigations? I'd say, oh, it was really quiet, hardly anything happened. Oh, except for this. Oh, and then there was that. Oh, yeah, and there was that
You
thing and
start to
that.
remember.
I think because small things happen, you sometimes don't quite appreciate how much does happen. Which part of the museum was the most active for you?
Well, physically, like hearing something, it was the seance room where I heard the whisper. But on camera, where we couldn't hear anything with our own ears, we caught a lot in the asylum room. A lot of voices. There was a man and a woman's voice.
Wow.
If you watch the episode, you'll see what I mean. It's really odd.
And
So,
interestingly, that was when you had your back to the room. This is going to sound dodgy, but I was blindfolded. As soon as the blindfold went on and Rachel wasn't looking, there was a large crack in the room, wasn't there, Rach?
yeah, that's it. It was like a
Really loud,
smack.
really loud. We couldn't find anything that would make that noise.
Well,
We got the staff to check the cameras, and a camera that never fails failed at that point.
yeah,
So
we
wow.
can't explain it. And then we got all the whispers. So it's interesting because you kind of think, are they shy? You know, are they waiting for us not to look? And
Yeah.
then they get active.
You weren't tied to the GIMP chair, were you?
Was
It
it
electric chairs. Yeah. I didn't like the look of that. The thing was, when we went, it was absolutely freezing cold. I haven't been so cold since I did an outdoor investigation in Clapham Woods about 3 years ago. I was so cold. And when I went into the asylum room, so it's just basically a bare, very old room in the top of the museum. And it's even more freezing. It's sort of beyond cold. It's colder than outside, isn't it?
Definitely.
And the thing was that because we were so cold anyway, we couldn't face going in the asylum room to do an investigation because we were just blue. And I really regret that now because actually the asylum room was the only room that I ha felt a really strong presence in. That all of my legs, when I walked in there, it was pins and needles as if somebody was trying to get inside me is kind of the weird thing that I described. Like someone was trying to get in me from the back, and it was really scary. And then because the rest of the night was quite quiet, I was a bit annoyed with myself then for not going in. But
Oh,
the thing
you
about
know where you
invest
should have gone? Did
where?
you try going in the coffin in the chapel? They
No.
put me in that coffin, and honestly, when that lid went on, it was so snug and warm.
Really? Oh my goodness, if I'd known
We
that, I'd
actually
have
thought you
fallen
fell
asleep.
asleep.
That's
I
not
would do
true.
that.
That's not true.
Oh, don't you find though, when you do a paranormal investigation, I find this because I mean, I'm not easily scared, I have to say. I'm quite happy, to sit in a completely pitch black room. And if it's not freezing cold, I have been known to nod off quite a few times because you sat there really quietly, like listening out, and it's like, oh, actually, I'll just have a little bit of a nap while I'm here. The napping investigator, I'll be known as. So, Tom, where's been your favourite place that you've investigated with the team so far?
So far, probably 30 East Drive. Just for the sort of things that we were getting. We had a really interesting sort of SS method session, like for a solid hour. We were just getting sort of response after response and almost having like a full conversation, really. It was quite weird.
Wow, and was it the old man that you were talking to, do you think, that's meant to look down? Or...
I think so, yeah. Because it weren't me that was doing the Estes. I was on the sort of asking the questions, and we had our friend Emma and I think Sean were doing it as well. But like the responses were almost like instant. So Emma was on the had the blindfold on, and it was like, if you want us to leave, say leave, and then instantly she's like, leave. It was really weird. It's quite
Quite
it
spooky.
was really creepy. The way she says it.
I think your internet's freezing a bit there, Tom. Were you at that one, Chris?
Yes, it was a fascinating place, actually. I did a lone vigil in the coal bunker. Have you been there, Michaela? Do you know it?
No, I haven't actually, but I do. I've watched loads and loads of investigations there.
So down on the ground floor, there's a little room where they've got it's like a coal bunker. So there's coal on the floor. There's the old miner outfit on the side, a helmet and things like that. All kind of trigger objects, I guess. Anyway, I did a lone vigil in there. Thought it was very quiet, nothing happened. And then when we reviewed the footage back later, you could hear someone breathing on the camera, although there was nobody next to the camera. I was like the other side of the room, nowhere near the camera microphone, and yet there's someone clearly breathing.
Oh my
About
goodness.
10 minutes later, Tom and I moved into the adjoining room, what they call the smoking room. It's a fascinating place because there's pictures on the wall from all the guests that have gone there. An image they caught of the black monk on the stairs. Really like that room. Again, not a lot happened in there for us at the time, but then we heard movement behind us, like a bang. So we walked into the corridor, and as we get up to go in the corridor to look, we hear a girl's voice on the camera say something along the lines of savage.
Oh.
So it was when we watched it back, we thought, flipping it, you know, we had an active night anyway, but there was even more than we realized we caught.
Wow. And Rachel, what was the best bit for you?
I didn't go to 30 Strive
Oh,
with
you
them.
didn't go to that one. I keep asking the wrong people
It's
about
all
the wrong
right. Yeah.
investigations.
It's all right. It's okay. I started a little bit later on, you see. But we did go to is it the Flower Gallery, Chris?
Oh yes, Gallery
Yeah, we
Flowers in
went
Whitchurch.
there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was quite interesting because we actually heard like a lady singing, and we
Oh.
caught it on camera and cleaned it up. So that was quite interesting because there was no music going on in the pub across the road, and it was quite a unique kind of sound as well.
Yeah.
Quite old-fashioned kind of singing. And also in another room, I actually heard her humming again in my ear, and Chris heard it as well. But unfortunately, my camera wasn't on, so we were gutted that we didn't capture that.
Oh.
Yeah, we both heard it, so that was quite interesting. And where else did we go? Oh, we went to Chirk Mill as well. That's where I met Tom properly as well.
All right, yeah. And
That
where
was
is
quite a
Chirk
good
Mill?
night.
Where is
Sorry?
it? Where is it?
It's in Chirk by Wrexham.
All right.
Yeah, so it's an old mill, it is.
And what's the kind of story behind that? Is there said to be kind of particular ghosts there, or?
Well, Chris knows a little bit more because he knows the owners, so he knows a lot more about the
Right.
history, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, there's been many sightings of a shadow figure on the upper floors. People have described, and actually, we think we caught it too, almost like a. You know how people get excited by orbs that are later found to be dust?
Yeah.
We saw with our own eyes like a white dot flying across the room. And the stories of orbs, if you like, around there. But possibly the most fascinating one for me is people have actually walked outside and saw what they say is the miller, the old miller,
Wow.
just walking across. Now it has an outside toilet, so if you ever spend the night there, you have to walk outside to go to the toilet. So whenever you go out there, you're thinking, am I going to see
Or
the
is he going to make me jump while I'm on the loo?
Miller? That was an interesting place because before we did the film in there, I went to meet the owners and just have a look around. And I took with me an H4 Zoom mic, and it was the first time I was using it. Now it has two modes. When you first turn it on, it flashes and it's not recording, but you're getting in the headphones and amplified audio from the surrounding area. And I'm walking around and I thought I heard a voice. So I carried on towards the ground floor where I thought the voice was coming from. And as I was halfway down the stairs, I heard a woman's voice say, "I'm ready." So of course, I jumped out my skin. Looking around, there's nobody in the building. So I thought, Tracy, the owner, maybe she's come back. I thought maybe Sarah, who's meet me there to come and film, had come. No, neither of them were in there. Tracy was in her house across the way. Nobody else was near the building. I was on my own, and I clearly heard a woman saying she was ready.
I wonder what she was ready for.
Not to show herself to me, unfortunately, because I spent the whole night trying to find her.
Oh my goodness. I always find it really fascinating when you get these sort of audible things going on because they're always a one-off, aren't they? You never have a conversation or even a small two-way exchange. It's always on their terms. They say something and
Exactly.
then that's it.
Exactly. I would love to know what makes it possible, and so you could try and recreate it and get some sort of conversation going on. But there's the theories behind it are, is it residual? Is it just, it's not intelligent. They're just playing out a loop over and over.
Well, we did see a shadow figure, didn't we, Chris? We
We
caught that on
did. We
camera.
did. And we
And we
caught that one
caught
on
one
camera.
behind you as well. So in front with the infrared light, it doesn't cast shadows as such, does it, on camera? But you could see it with your own eyes, couldn't you? So that was quite interesting. And I'm sure we had a shadow behind you as well, Chris. So that was quite interesting at the mill. And voices as well. We had a man's voice in the attic.
Did it
Fascinating
actually
place.
feel like there was something there? Did it have a presence about it?
It does, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Definitely a male energy there, I think, and family orientated as well, I think. But yeah, definitely a male spirit is lingering around there. It was very odd, very odd.
If only they'd let us see them.
I know, I know,
It's
I know.
so
Well,
frustrating.
yeah, well, we capture stuff on the Zoom recorder as well. And obviously, the haunted hunts have been there as well. They caught some interesting stuff with the grid. What else? I think we did an event there as well. And we caught some footsteps, things like that. So that was a relatively quiet night, but we did catch some good stuff as well with the microphones. So yeah, it's very interesting, definitely.
And it does make you wonder, doesn't it? How can they, if it's not residual, because obviously sometimes it must be, but sometimes things seem to happen with too much of a coincidence and a response to what you're saying. Like when I was at the hotel the other week, there were footsteps, but in response to something that we were talking about on the Estes method. So it felt like the footsteps were on purpose, were intelligent. But how do they get to interact with the physical world to make that noise? That just boggles my mind.
It's a good
Interesting, isn't
question.
it? Yeah. And then when you ask them, they don't give you the answer.
Yes, I know.
You don't get the answer, do you?
I know.
No.
Well, I
You
was
ask,
so.
what's it like on the other side? And all you get is go away or something.
Yeah,
You're like,
or
ah!
we can't tell you.
Keeping the mystery.
I know there must be some sort of rule, there's some sort of rule book, and they're not allowed to break it.
Exactly, yeah,
Maybe,
definitely.
maybe.
To tell us,
Maybe, yeah.
mere mortals.
You'll find out when you get there.
I know, you got to wait till you die. Right. So one oh yeah, so Tom, have you planned what the group's going to do next? Have you got your next investigation planned at all?
We've got our next one on Friday. And then obviously we're looking to do Pendle sort of in sort of the summer. I wouldn't want to try and butcher the name of where we're going on Friday, maybe Chris or
I've got it nailed
Bridge.
now. I've got it nailed
Oh,
now.
go on then.
There we go.
Clanachiddle.
Ooh.
Clanachiddle Hall.
And whereabouts is that? Is
So it's
that
near Welshpool.
okay? And
Because
what?
for a while we
Sorry.
were calling it Welshpool Hall, weren't we? It was just easier.
And what's meant to be there?
So that's
So
the manor, isn't it?
it is, yeah,
Yeah,
it's an
it's like a
old manor
mansion.
house.
Yeah.
And Catherine from Wednesday Paranormal, she's not only an investigator, but she also is the housekeeper. So she sees a lot of things. And she's told me little bits, but she's been teasing me, telling me that when we see her on Friday, she's going to tell us what's happened in the last couple of weeks. So apparitions, they get apparitions, they get voices, things like that. So we're going to set up cameras in every room, see what we get. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interestingly, they won't let you use a spirit board there. No Ouija boards. They won't have them.
That's quite common. It's quite common actually. There are quite a lot of places that I've been to where they won't let you use them, which is quite funny really, because I've talked to so many sort of mediums and psychics about Ouija boards, and they just say, "What? There's nothing to worry about. It's just, a means of talking, and you have people who will do the glass work, so they'll use a glass on a bare table to contact the spirits, but they won't use a Ouija board. Now, what's the difference, really?
It's no
Exactly.
different. It's just a form of communication. When you're calling out and asking for responses, you're communicating, aren't you?
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm 100% convinced by Ouija boards, but it's just a bit of card at the end of the day. It's just another way of communicating, isn't it? It's only the
Yeah.
same as either talking to someone or writing them a letter.
I think it's
Exactly.
because they're worried that it will leave a door open to demons.
I know, it's the television, isn't it? It's films
Yeah,
just making
exactly.
everyone terrified of things they don't need to be terrified about.
Exactly.
Like
This is
Jaws,
literally
isn't it? And
taking away.
sharks. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're perfectly fine and safe, and sometimes it's you that's moving it,
Yeah.
unintentionally sometimes, it can
Yeah.
happen.
Definitely. Because I think I've experienced that myself, the ideomotor effect. We used to do it quite a lot when we were students. And first of all, we got lots and lots of really good responses. But then, being students, we were sort of drinking and stuff while we were on the Ouija board. And you get a bit blasé about it. And we started asking it what color pants each other had on and stuff like that. And then I think actually it was, the person going, "Oh, I'm not going to tell her I've got pink pants on. Pink." And I
You
think
never
you
did
can
it.
get
You never did
confused.
it at Clanachiddle Hall, did you, Michaela? And that's why they won't let you do it anymore.
No. No. But it sounds like the sort of place I'd really like to go to, actually. But I think I might not be allowed there until I can say the name of it.
I'll have to
And
get
you,
it down
Tom.
before Friday.
Yeah, you're gonna have to
Yep.
practice. So yes, let's talk about Pendle as well. Pendle Hill is legendary, isn't it? And also extremely steep when you try and climb up it. Have any of you been to it before?
I've
I
been a
have.
couple of times, yeah.
What did you find last time? The one thing I want to ask you, Tom, if you've been before, is because I only went on a walk with my friend. We didn't have a lot of
Yeah.
time. We had half a day. And I really wanted to know where I should go, because I just felt like I was wandering around on a hill with no kind of
Yeah.
direction. What sort of place should you go?
See, I'm probably not much better, to be honest. See, I only live Blackburn and Darwin Way, which is sort of like the next couple of towns over. And
Yeah.
I think the last time I went now was a good 10 years ago, maybe. And I just sort of follow them where they're with. I think last time I went with my grandma, and then the time before that was like maybe a school trip.
Yeah.
But it was a decent walk. But yeah, I couldn't really point you in the direction of where to start or.
Yeah. Because, and I don't think there is even a Pendle village. Am I right in saying that? Or is there a
Yeah, it's
pendle
more
village with
sort of
just nothing in
you
it?
head towards Clitheroe, I guess, and then it is just Pendle,
Yeah.
Pendle Hill and stuff, but
I think I just imagined in my mind that there might be a pendle village at the bottom of the hill filled with witchy shops, and this person used to live here and that person used to live here, but it's not like that at all.
Well, I've
But
done a
it's
bit of research, and
yeah.
we are actually staying at the Pendle Inn, which has a witch sign.
Ah.
And just down the way from it, there is a little witchy shop, but it is only a small shop. But some of the local sites of interest, there is is it Alice Nutter, one of
Yes.
the supposed witches? I think a member of her family's buried there, and there's still a gravestone with Nutter written on it. I think she's got a statue now. I think there's a statue to her, and also
Yes.
a bit of a trail with witchy kind of statues and things like that there as well. So, yeah, we've plenty to go and look at, and the area is supposedly a hotspot, not just for any witchy goings on or magical goings on, but also for spirits, and also for UFOs, I believe. It's in that kind of area, isn't there? I think Todberton's another like hotspot. There's a few stories from Todberton up the way.
Yeah.
So
That's
yeah,
my
we'll be look.
stomping ground.
Yeah.
I'm from
Oh, is it?
Halifax. Yeah.
Ah, okay,
Which is
right,
right.
yeah.
Well, it's not next to Todmorden, but it's local, as they say.
Got you, got you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fantastic place though.
Yeah.
What was I going to ask? I was just going to ask Tom actually, because as a slight sideways diversion. I used to be a professional actor years ago before I went into teaching. And when I was on a tour, I used to work with this company called Pendle Productions, because I obviously used to live up the north. And our base was in Darwin, and we used to go to this curry house in Darwin. Now, there's probably more than one curry house in Darwin, but
Yeah.
it was the best curry house I've ever been to, and they were so nice there. When we were there, I mean, God, I don't know how long ago, 20 years ago probably, and we both used to smoke like chimneys, and my husband ran out of cigarettes, and the owner sent one of the lads out to the local
Really?
shop to buy us some cigarettes. And I've never forgotten it. We went twice, and it was absolutely amazing. I don't suppose you know which one I mean, do you? There's probably more than one then.
The one off the top of my head, it could be Akash. Is there a pub next door?
Yeah.
Next door, Lidl.
Well, it might not have been a little at the time, but Akash does ring a bell. Is it quite
Yeah.
big? Is it quite big?
Quite big, yeah. Almost in the town centre.
Yes.
Yeah. It's probably Akash. Yeah, it's good in there.
Oh, I wonder if the same man still runs it. Anyway, I digress.
Probably.
I do kick myself because at the time I didn't know really about Pendle Hill, and I stayed there all that time with this enormous legend on my doorstep and didn't even know about it. Typical, isn't it? So my next question I'm going to ask each of you in turn is, and you can all be thinking about it as well. Who do you admire in the paranormal field? Now, is there anybody that you think, oh, I'd really like to do things the way that they do it? I mean, you have mentioned one person in particular, but is there anyone, and I'm opening this up to all over the world. It doesn't have to be in the UK. It could be anybody you've seen and thought, oh, I'd really like to do it how they do it. Rachel, you first.
Oh, it's a tough one, tough one. I mean, everyone's got their unique paranormal investigative side. I watch a lot of Project Fear. I think they're quite good. And they're actually in the UK, so hopefully we might see them around, eh? They're here for a month.
I know, I really hope so. Come
We should go.
to
We
us,
should stalk
come
them.
to us. Yeah, come to
But
Chichester.
yeah, I really like the way they work. I like the way they interact with their fans. They make it really fun. You got to look out for a little duck, which I always forget to do.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I just love the way they work. They're so good. I know they've been best friends for a long time. They know each other, so they bounce off each other. I just like that kind of atmosphere with them, and they have so much fun as well as having a serious investigation as well. So I quite like Project Fear, definitely.
Yeah, and I th I think almost,
Sorry.
sorry, their personalities are as much of it as the paranormal investigation, aren't they?
Exactly. And I don't know who else.
We've got to investigate, haven't we?
There's lots of people, isn't there? So yeah, there's lots of people with different ways of investigating, but Project Few is probably the way I'd like to do it.
Yeah. Okay, Chris, your turn.
Yeah, I was going to give a shout out to our mates over at To Investigate. So in a similar kind of mold, they like to have fun, but they also have a serious side to them in investigating the right way, you know? So we're looking for scientific triangulated responses. So we're not just looking for we heard a bang over there or the spirit box gave us this word. We're looking to correlate those things, and I think they do that properly. And also have a laugh.
Which is important as well. Tom, what
Cheers.
about you?
I'd probably say Steve and Griff from the Ouija Brothers. They're the same sort of, they bounce off each other, you know, they're having fun as well as being sort of serious, and then they're quite, you know, serious in the way that they try and debunk stuff. So they might even like do an update on a video or say like, oh, at the end, a little segment. After reviewing the footage, we were actually able to debunk this. But like all the way through the video, they think it's paranormal. But then after later reviewing, they find that it's just the clock tower chiming every hour or something that's making like a footsteps sound or something. And that's one I can think of off the top of my head. But yeah, just their style of video as well. And again, like I said, that like not always anything paranormal happens. They might put a video that says, you know, this might not have any real paranormal evidence in it whatsoever, or you know, even when they do get unexplained like phenomena or whatever, they say that it's unexplained. They don't jump the gun and say, you know, it's definitely a ghost. It's just unexplained.
Yeah. And I think paranormal investigation seems to be hopefully heading in that direction now. And I know that the Haunted Hotel have sort of been leading the way with this really down to earth, proper, as scientific as you can, because it's not perfect, but triangulating evidence, things like that, rather than the kind of old school most haunted or then, you know. Ghost Adventures, which I watched for years and years and years until I couldn't take it any longer. I couldn't take that bullying Aaron anymore. It was just too much. But yeah, I do think, and it does seem to be like there might be a new era of investigation. I feel like there's something just around the corner that we haven't thought of, because we are all, you know, sitting doing the old-fashioned method of calling out, and we have lots of different equipment, but we're kind of doing the investigations quite similarly. I feel like there's going to be a light bulb moment somewhere soon where somebody tries something new. Has anyone got any ideas about what sorts of things they might like to try out that they haven't tried out yet?
I mean, I like to dabble with different kinds of sensing devices. Something that was interesting, and they did it at the hotel, we're going to talk about them again, is brown noise. They pump brown noise throughout the building. The theory being that the strange kind of frequencies that it pumps out can stimulate activity. And we've had some good results with that. Actually, before the shadow figure showed itself to us at Chirk Mill, we were pumping that out. We were pumping those sounds out. So I started thinking, right, okay, well, that's sound frequencies. Perhaps it's somehow merging two worlds, or, you know, bringing the two together, something like that. What about light frequencies? Because of course you have different forms of light on the spectrum. You have visible light, you have infrared at the lower end, you have ultraviolet at the high end. So I started making a device that pumped out like ultraviolet light of high frequencies and things like that. It's never brought any results, unfortunately, but it's still an experimental device, and I like to push the boundaries, you know. Like you say, maybe one day we'll do something and it'll suddenly click and we'll get some activity. So I think I like to try all different methods. It was
Yeah.
interesting as well, Rach, wasn't it? You know, going back to some of the old methods at the museum, they had the singing bowls, didn't they?
Yes. We use the singing bowls to gather some energy. So it kind
Yeah.
of sings out some sort of energy for the spirits to kind of how can I put it?
Enable them to come
Stronger.
through,
Yeah.
kind of stimulate them.
Yeah. But it can also help with cleansing as well. That's the thing. You've got to be careful with these singing bowls. It's more of a cleanser than well, I suppose it's vibration as well, isn't it? So it can kind of cleanse and bring in spirits. It just depends how you want to use it, the intention maybe. Same with crystals. You know, if you're going to use crystals for spirit communication, you know, you'll have to have that intention to use it like in that way for that tool to work, you know.
Yeah. So that brings me nicely on to my next question, which is I'm going to ask Tom first, but I'll have a think about which is your favorite piece of equipment, or maybe more than one favorite piece of equipment, and which pieces of equipment do you really not rate at all when you see people using them? So, Tom first.
I'm quite basic at the minute with what I've got. Obviously, I've not been doing it too long, but I've just got myself a K2 and a REM pod. Obviously, with the K2, sometimes they can be interfered with. So with like phone signal and other I don't know, other things that might affect it. But the REM pod,
No, we've
the
lost
only
you.
time it has gone off is at the hotel. It was like one of the, like, best nights I had there. But then if you get in again triangulated stuff where it's the REM pod and the K2 going off and it isn't someone pressing a walkie-talkie at the hotel, then you can sort of start to sort of maybe, you know, get actually some responses from it. I really like Danny's Introvox. That's probably like one of the like my
Yeah.
favorite pieces of equipment I've ever seen. Just for the sort of stuff that we have had come through that, and obviously the other stuff that he's had when I've not been there. Can't think of anything that I don't really rate, I guess.
That's very
Does it count
generous
as
of you. I
them?
said that's very generous of you.
Yeah. Again, a bit skeptical of Ouija boards and table tipping. I've only ever done the table tipping once, and I don't know, we did get some, but again, idiomotic effect, it could have been just that. But yeah, I think that's it really.
Okay, Chris, over to you.
Yes, I love to use different devices. So I find ITC devices interesting. I was a bit skeptical about them at first, but we were using the GEC Spirit Chat recently, and some of the things it was pumping out were quite coincidental. You know, it was a bit too on the money to be random, you know. So
Yeah.
you think, I don't really understand how it works, but it does seem to produce some results sometimes. I'll tell you another device we used at the hotel on Friday, actually. We had a car that had an infrared sensor at the back that pushed it along. So you don't have to touch it, you just have to wave your hand behind it and it will move.
Yeah.
And this thing never goes off anywhere. We used it in a hall in Wales and it never did anything. In all the rooms in the hotel, nothing. Then in room five, where allegedly Billy and Sarah reside, right across the room,
Oh,
multiple
wow.
times. We also, at the same time, had a lady on a spirit box doing an Estes method, and when the car stopped, coincidentally, she said, "I'm tired now," and it never moved again. It never moved again. So,
Oh my
I need
goodness.
to get myself one of those cars.
That is a huge coincidence, isn't it? That's amazing.
So skeptical. I was at Dudley Castle, where somebody brought with them like a pendulum, you know, where they spin it to like yes, no, and maybe. I'm open-minded to everything, but I think that can be too easily influenced by a little tremor in the hand. So I like to think I'm open-minded to everything, but if I'm skeptical about anything, something like that, I'd be very skeptical about.
Yeah. Okay. And Rachel?
I like to dabble in anything and everything just for experimental purposes. But I do like the odds, you know, the Zoom recorder, so to record EVPs. Also, I think it's good to like kind of sit in silence, ask out, see if you can hear anything or sense anything, because that does happen. So yeah, I kind of like the old-fashioned ways of investigating. Tom mentioned Danny's is it Introvox? And the Paracast. I find that quite interesting as well. Yeah, so I'm into all sorts of things really. I don't mind using whichever, as long as it communicates to them and we get some confirmation from them, then happy days. Some days you might not get anything, you know, it just depends what equipment you use, maybe what interaction you get. But yeah, I like EVPs, definitely EVPs.
Yeah, me too. It's my favorite. What do you think about cat balls, Rachel?
I used to like cat balls, but we've used them for years and you can have them flash at random times, like all through the night, and they just don't ever turn off. And then you've got to kind of move them to kind of swap them over and things just to reset them. And then they don't go off for ages. And then they might just go off again and they kind of stop and then start again and stop. So I'm not too not 100% on the cat balls per se, but they are still interesting. I mean, if I saw one fly across the room, then that's a different matter.
Yeah.
But the flashing, I don't know, you
Yeah.
know.
But
So
I don't think they're very reliable, really.
no, exactly, because
Yeah.
like vibrations and drafts, you know, things like that can cause them to flash. Flat batteries as well, when they're going flat, they
Yeah.
tend to make a flash. But I don't know really. I mean, it depends on what questions, you know, if you're asking a question, it might flash on demand. That could be a little sign.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd rather see them move across the floor myself.
Yeah, me too, definitely. I think cat balls are the Marmite of the paranormal world, aren't they? You either
Yes.
love them or you hate them.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. See,
So
I
I was quite
was
like, ooh.
sorry, go on.
I was
Go on,
going to
Tom.
say, I always quite like the idea of taking, you know, like an actual cat ball with a bell in it rather than the light and using that as an object, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so you
Because
can hear
I guess
it.
you couldn't really ask the questions then, but you know, if you hear it, it's a
Yeah.
point of interest, wouldn't
Chris, that's
it?
your job. Get a cat ball with
Yeah. I
a
reckon
bell
we could get one of them from Pets at
in.
Home.
Yeah. But do you know what? There's nothing more spooky on a very dark night in the middle of a spooky place than hearing a bell ring. That is really quite spooky.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to be slightly controversial now. So knowing that, see, I absolutely love watching My Haunted Hotel. I love the guys. I don't always agree with their opinions, but I guess that's okay because everyone's got different opinions. So I'm really interested to know what you three think about, and Chris has touched on it, the orb question. You know, are there orbs? Is it all dust? Are we allowed to call them orbs? Should we refer to them as light anomalies? What do you reckon? I'm going to go to Tom first.
I think it just depends where you are, doesn't it? Like with the hotel, a 400-year-old building, it's going to be dusty and like going in sort of abandoned places that are a bit derelict. You know, if you are taking pictures with flashes, there is chances to be, you know, dust that do come up like orbs. But going back to Chirk Mill, when me and Chris, I think both saw this light anomaly or orb at the same time go through the door. That was weird, and I don't think we got it on camera, but it was just that. Obviously, that's not dust because dust isn't sort of like that. But, on yeah, you have to take it with a pinch of salt. I think on camera, it might
Yeah.
be a, you know, it might be paranormal, it might be most likely dust. But I'd like to think that mostly it's probably just dust for me.
It is, and I know Danny gets very worked up about it, but he's very definitely that, you know, orbs don't exist. But I think there's definitely a middle ground somewhere. What do you think, Chris?
I think I know where Danny's coming from. If you've got an infrared camera, the infrared bounces off dust and makes a white dot. That isn't an orb. That's dust. He's quite right. And same with possibly a bug, something like that. When you're in a dark room and you see, I'm going to call it a light anomaly, flying past, I would say that's genuinely, I've seen it with my own eye. It is not infrared bouncing off something. That's not an orb. That's a light anomaly. I would say that can't be explained. It's not dust. That's something different. And I've seen that only in two places. Once with Tom at Churt Mill, and the only other place I've seen it happen is at Stanley Palace in Chester. And they're both very haunted locations, and I've never seen them anywhere else bar those two places. So I'm inclined to say there's something there. Danny's quite right in saying that when you see them on the camera, it could be dust. And I think 99% of the time it is. But when you see it with your own eye, it's something different, isn't it? I think.
Yeah, definitely. What do you think, Rachel?
I mean, obviously, when you're looking at infrared cameras and you see things flying around constantly, yeah, it's going to be dust. I know a lot, I watch so many videos or lives, and people are going, "Oh my God, look at all them orbs. It's all the spirits. They're coming through, they're running through, and all this." I'm just like, no, switch off. It's just dust going past and past and past, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just like you when you're on your camera, you'll see dust particles flying past the flash. So, I believe in light anomalies because they have their own personality, the way they move, the intelligence of where they move and where they appear. They appear in color. Obviously, you can get lens flares as well that can look like orbs. So if you're shining, no, if there's the sun shining towards the camera, you'll see like a little green dot, or you'll see a yellow dot that mimics the sun or the moon even. You kind of know that that's just the lens flare. But yeah, like Chris and Tom said, if you can see it with your own eyes, it's a lot different, isn't it? So it is like a light anomaly. It has to have intelligence behind it. Definitely, yes.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I mean, I've seen us we in fact Ash from Pursuit of the Paranormal and I saw a blue light orb in room 5 last time we went.
No way.
We saw a blue flash, and then we saw a blue circle of light go across the room. In fact, I saw it mainly. And the funny thing was that last weekend when they had the episode on where they go in the attic, there was a small bit with a lady in room 5, and she saw a blue circle of light as well.
Wow.
So
Wow.
that was really incredible. But I do think when you see them on camera, often they will, like Rachel said, they will act differently, and they are just a single circle of light. And they kind of move backwards and forwards in an intelligent type fashion, I suppose you could say. But
Yeah.
also, sometimes they kind of morph into different shapes, don't they? And look like they've turned over, and
Yeah. Yeah.
they behave very differently.
Yeah, and a lot of people do capture faces in orbs as well. Now, I have seen some interesting ones that do look like faces, but it could be pareidolia as well, where your brain's seeing a face, like kind of morphing into that. So that's another one that I'm kind of 50-50 on as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is quite interesting.
But I mean it's half of the fun, isn't it? Trying to figure out what things are,
Yeah.
and debunking it. And there's that little part of you where your heart sinks a bit when you've debunked something and you're
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
oh.
Exactly. I mean, if you've got a photograph of that person and it looks similar, then yeah, well done. But like I said, it's very hard to determine whether it's pareidolia or if it's real.
Yeah. So this question, you may not have thought of this, so forgive me if you all go, I don't know. So think, what does the future hold for Northern Frights? Do you have a 5-year plan, or are you just kind of seeing how you go? I'll go to Chris first for that.
I'm thinking contract with Discovery Plus, going stateside. No, we're very much taking it a couple of investigations at a time. There's lots of places on our bucket list we'd like to go. Pendle's coming up. We've looked at the ancient ramming, places like that. So it's
Yeah.
very much ticking off our own bucket list and places we wanted to go, places that we're curious about. And it's kind of just our own journey, isn't it, at the moment? You know, the fact that people are watching it and sharing that journey with us is a bonus. It's something we enjoy doing, and yeah, we'll just carry on as long as we enjoy it.
Good. Anything from you on that, Rachel?
Just winging it, I think, aren't we?
Don't say that. It's meant to be a secret.
No, I'm quite glad that Chris and Tom invited me along to join them on our ghostly adventures. But yeah, we do have a lot going on for the future, so hopefully, I don't know. I think we'll crack on. I think it'll be a good year or two, I reckon. What do you two reckon?
Yeah.
Yeah,
What
I think
about
so.
Tom? You look like a man with a plan.
Oh, like, oh,
Yeah.
it's a good job I do then, but I don't. But no, yeah, like I said, it's quite a, it's, we've been going for like just maybe under a year now. The channel's been alive for sort of about a year, but it's just sort of creating that sort of, is it weird to say, creating that bond, I guess, and you know,
Yeah.
getting bigger as a channel and as a the friend group, I guess. And what I've found in this past year is it's opened so many like doors for sort of like new friends, and it's just been, you know, a nice year really, making videos,
Yeah.
doing things that you enjoy.
And doing stuff together with other groups. It's one of the best things, isn't it, when you work with other people and meet all these new people. That's why I came into it as well. It's really good. So,
Yeah.
Tom, if you could investigate anywhere in the world, anywhere that you've seen on TV, where would you like to go?
See, it's not going to be on TV, but I'm dying to go back to my old house where I told you about the woman that said "Yoo-hoo,"
Oh,
and I
yeah.
managed to get the email off my mum for the person that owns it, because it's actually on. No one lives in there at the minute, but I think they
Oh,
are
wow.
doing it up to try and sell it. Yeah, that's my number one bucket list, but I've not heard anything back on the email.
Oh, well, good
It's,
luck with that. And the good thing
yeah.
is, if they are renovating it, often that stirs up more activity, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that's what we actually found when we lived there. So we actually lived there twice. We moved in, then we moved out, and then we moved back in, and the activity always spiked on when we were either moving in or out. It's weird.
Oh, wow. Well, good luck. Let us know if anything happens with that.
I hope so.
Chris, where would you like to investigate if you could go anywhere?
I mean, if we're talking famous places nationwide, places that spring to mind are like the Enfield, you know, the Poltergeist, looking at that kind of location. But there's somewhere close to home that I'm really, really intrigued to go as well. It's the old Thornton's chocolate shop in Chester. I
Ooh.
remember speaking with the manager at the time, and asking her about it because I'd heard rumours. Now, apparently, the building sits on the tunnels that run under Chester that went to the cathedral. And the story goes was there was a lady that was due to be married, and anyway, she was jilted or something. When she got to the cathedral, he wasn't there or something. So she still apparently walks the building. When it was a chocolate shop, when it was Valentine's Day, and there's lots of heart-shaped chocolate boxes on the wall, she'd throw them off. The manager would tell me stories of things like umbrellas that would be thrown across the room and things like that in front of her. I would love to go in there and just yeah, see what's what and just kind of investigate there. It's now a phone shop, and yeah, they don't seem to be very interested in letting me go
Yeah,
in.
I find that a lot, especially if it's a franchise, they just do not want to know at all.
No, this is it. This is it. I found it as well with other places. They don't want to be known as a haunted location. So although they believe themselves it's haunted, if it's a venue that say wants to do weddings and things like that, they will let you go and investigate there, but they won't let you film it because they don't want it getting out on the internet that it's a haunted location.
Yeah, that
See,
stopped them making thousands of pounds.
that's the trouble. Yeah.
Rachel, is there anywhere in the world that you would really, really like to investigate?
I wanted to travel to America to see Zach Bagans's museum. I'd love to do that. And a couple of old houses, like the Axe Murder House,
Yeah.
Lizzie Borden's house, maybe. And My Haunted Manor. Can't forget that one, can
Oh,
we?
yeah.
Okay. Gotta support them.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Do you
And
know,
I absolutely love the American guys. They're doing a cracking job. Danny and Harry and Brett are doing a cracking job. So, clap hands to them.
Yeah, it'd be lovely. And the great thing is that if we ever managed to go over there, it's really near to Gettysburg, which is also super haunted. So you could have like a haunted hotel, whole trip, couldn't you? You go to the
Exactly, yeah,
manor and go to
definitely.
Gettysburg. It'd be
Yeah.
amazing.
Yeah. I'm actually going to New York soon, and I was desperately trying to make it work, finding a way of getting over to Pennsylvania and back, but I just can't.
Oh, I know, because it even though it's kind of technically the next state, it's really a long way.
It is. It
Yeah,
is.
it's a lot of flights and extra money again, isn't it, to travel?
That's it.
It's one day you will, Chris, one day.
Yeah, you'll have to find somewhere haunted in New York.
Yeah, well, that's it. There must be, surely. There's some history there, isn't there?
There is. Oh, yeah, I'd love to go there. I'd really love to go to one of the old American asylums or sanatorium. Is it Waverly
Yeah.
Hills Sanatorium?
Oh,
One of
there's
the
loads of them up there, isn't there?
Yeah, the ones that look absolutely terrifying. I'd love to see how I fare there because, as I said, I'm not really usually scared, but even when I watch those places, it makes me come out in
Yeah, that's
goosebumps.
why I like Project Fear because they pick a name out of a hat that they've got to spend the night on their own. And I love that. I think we need to do that because I find it so fun. We need to do
Absolutely, I'm up for that. Yeah,
it.
let's do it.
Definitely.
Right,
Yeah.
well, we'll watch out for that on the Northern Frights kind of Project Fear shoot-off of
Northern Frights, Lonely Nights.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that. Northern Frights, Lonely Nights. Yeah, I like it. I like it. That got some good marketing there. Right. So we have Rachel's told us a little bit about paranormal TV that she watches. Do either Chris or Tom do you, and Tom watches the Ouija Brothers who were on YouTube. Am I right in thinking that? Yeah, what about you, Chris? Do you watch any paranormal TV besides the
I watch a
hotel?
lot, yeah. So I've on Discovery Plus, there's a lot of I like the paranormal Caught on Camera and things like that. It's great to see some actual evidence from different people, and usually it's a video where they were doing something completely different and it's caught in the background. They weren't trying to recreate something paranormal, it's just happened behind them. It's natural. I love that. There's plenty of YouTube channels I watch. There's another local one, Haunted Scouse. Are you aware of those guys? No,
No.
they're a local team. I actually discovered them by watching Paranormal Caught on Camera. They're on that a couple of
Oh.
times. So they're, as the name suggests, based in Liverpool, just up the road from me. So I speak to them now and again, and I'm doing an event with them in November at Newsham Park. So I like the way they do things as well. You can tell they're genuine and they're not trying to ham it up or exaggerate for camera. So yeah,
Yeah.
there's plenty I watch online.
Yeah, great. Tom, any shows that you particularly like besides the Ouija Brothers?
So the Twin Investigator, I like watching their videos as well. And then some that are a bit more funny, but you can get some like seem somewhat like genuine clips out of them, but like Nuke's Top Five and Slap Time, some of them are a bit far-fetched sometimes, but it's like a clips channel basically showing different paranormal videos. But yeah, some of them you just laugh at, and then but then some are genuinely scary and quite interesting.
Oh, fantastic. What about you, Rachel?
There is one on YouTube that I watched a few years back and I've started rewatching them again. I can't remember the team's name, but their shows is called Chasing Evil.
Oh.
So yeah, I can't remember his name. Joshua Foreman, I think it is his name. I'm not too sure though. Yeah, so I'm into forensics and cold cases and things like that. And these guys use Spirit Box as a tool to communicate with the spirit world. to find missing people or to find out what happened to them. And they get so many responses that are quite, how should I put it? Quite valid evidence to compare to the evidence that the police know, if that makes sense. So I find that really interesting because you can't fake it, you know what I mean? And they've done some really, really sensitive cold cases, like involving babies and children as well. So they're helping kind of grieving families to understand what happened to them and how it happened and who did it, things like that. So yeah, I find that quite interesting.
Oh, fantastic. Well, some new ones there. I might have to write those down and have a look at them.
Yeah, chasing evil.
Right, so I'm going to do kind of quick fire questions, and then we'll end with a bit of silliness. So I'm going to be asking you your thoughts on particular types of cryptid or entity. So if you could sort of just answer in 30 seconds, and we'll go around each person for each one. Is that okay?
Okay.
And I'm just going to do it clockwise on my screen. So we'll start with Tom. What is your take on poltergeists? What do you think they are?
They're seen as quite sort of, what's the word? Oh, the word goes from me now, but they seem like they're mischievous spirits, I guess. I've listened to a podcast where they were saying that they tend to gravitate towards children. I think like you can get the poltergeist infestation if there's like a child or something, growing up. Again, for what they are, n not a clue, but
That's all
that
right.
they move things, I guess.
Move things around. Chris, what's your take on poltergeist?
I mean, there's the classic, isn't there? That yeah, like Tom said, are they using the female teenage girl as a catalyst? Like, is it a spirit using that energy to move things? I often wonder as well, the way that we get EMF spikes now and again, are there some sort of natural energy flows that are moving around? And if that energy was at a certain level, could it move an object? It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Love to be able to prove it. I don't think we can.
What about you, Rachel?
Well, it's just theory, really, isn't it? We don't really know what a poltergeist is. It's just a name for a no noi noisy ghost, as they say. I suppose it's some sort of energy that can manipulate things and move things.
Do you think that it's, that they're intelligent, or do you think it is just energy?
It depends. I mean, it's hard to say when you're not an expert in these things because we don't really know what it is, do we? I mean, it could be intelligent. I mean, it depends. Like, what an example can I say? Like, say for my haunted hotel I watched the other night, the glass moving across the table because they mentioned Charles Griffith's surname. So that was quite an intelligent response. So he must have gone, right, I'm angry, smash the glass, or just to show his frustration. So that could be an interaction. Yeah, it's really hard to say, isn't it? You
It's all
know.
right. You don't have to be right or wrong. It's just
Exactly.
your
It's yeah, the
ideas on it,
paranormal
really.
isn't right or wrong answers, is it really?
Yeah,
So
no.
yeah, it's all theorized, isn't it?
So, Tom, what do you think about the idea of Bigfoot?
It's one of them. It's America is that big that it could be there, but if he is there, then why is there no definite evidence? But I don't know if that's just because I don't have a sort of proper scale of how big America is. Like it could be, I wouldn't know. There seems to be some good evidence though. Like I remember watching like documentaries as a kid, and they've find like hair of animals that they can't identify or something like that. So they were, and then they had the footprints, but I don't know how much they were like how valid they are. But yeah, like when they find like unidentified hair or, feces and stuff like that. It makes you think, doesn't it?
It really does. I mean, through everything that I've read and watched over the last few years, I really do think I believe in them. What do you think, Chris?
Well, in an upcoming episode we did at Delamere Forest, I started researching some of the cryptid creatures that they spotted there. Things like dogmen, ape-like creatures, and even one report of like a lizard kind of creature. Now, the lizard one was interesting because it got me going down the rabbit hole of thinking of another theory I've heard of called time slips. What if Bigfoot is the result of a time slip to an early man, or the missing link between modern man and the old man? That's why we can't find evidence, because yes, it's been spotted, but as soon as that time slip's gone, there's nothing there to find. Yes, that merging of the two time zones could have left a footprint on the floor, perhaps, but then when the timelines have re restored, there's nothing there to find. It's interesting, isn't it? So I'm willing to believe there's something out there. Could they've remained hidden for this long, though? That I find hard to believe.
No, it is really interesting. Have you got any thoughts on Bigfoot, Rachel?
Men running around in gorilla suits. Like Tom said, I think people have found hairs that they can't explain, and scientists say that they have no idea where that hair's come from. So that would be quite an interesting thing to look into. As for footprints, people can, fake that. I'm sure there is something out there. It's got to be, isn't there? If everyone around the world's witnessing things, not everyone must be bored and trying to fake things, surely. You know what I mean? There's got to be something, really. We can't be the only humans and people on this planet. There's got to be something, hasn't there?
I think so, definitely.
Yeah, I'd like to think so.
So my last one is the big question, which seems to be more and more pertinent these days, and it seems to be gaining traction, especially in America. So Tom, what do you think of UFOs? Do you think there could be aliens on the planet? What's
100%. There's
your
got to
take?
be. There's got to be. With how big the universe is, and there has to be. But again, is that sort of, I don't know. My brain hurts a little bit when I try and think about how big space actually is, and it would be impossible, surely, for us to be the only planet with intelligent life on, surely.
You would think so. I'm definitely the sorry about that clinking in the background. That's my
It's all
eldest son being quite
right.
noisy, scraping his plate. So Chris, what's your take on it?
What came out of Congress last year was fascinating, wasn't it? Because it backed up what a lot of people had leaked in many decades before about the stories about recovered crafts, and they even confirmed about non-human bodies recovered, didn't they? They did confirm that. What they don't go on to say is it's from another planet. It doesn't go on to say whether it's a cryptid or anything like that. What if, now, if you go back through folklore, there are lots of tales of other races of creatures that lived alongside man, especially in places like Wales. There were talks of fairy creatures. Now, they weren't the cute little Tinkerbell characters you see in Disney movies. They were another race of creature that weren't particularly nice to humans. They lived alongside us, but we didn't get along. What if there has always been another species on this planet, living in the oceans, living underground, something along those lines? What if they have their own intelligence and they're more advanced than us? And are the UFOs or UAPs, as they call them now, are they coming from within our planet rather than outside? And maybe that's why they can disappear so easily, because they're just going under the sea or something along those lines. So I do find, I do believe there's something out there on other planets. I also am very open-minded to the theory that there could be other creatures, other races on this planet that are intelligent. And if they are that intelligent, they would be more than capable of hiding themselves.
Yeah, definitely. And there's also a theory, isn't there, that there might be humans from far in the future who've been able to travel back in time to interact
Another
with
valid
us.
theory.
Yeah. What do you think, Rachel?
Yeah, I don't think we're alone. I mean, like Tom said, you know, there's a whole universe out there. I've seen the UFOs. I mean, I don't know if they're human made or, you know, alien. Because I always see them at night. So it'd be nice to see them in the day, you know what I mean? But yeah, I think there's you know, a lot going on that we don't know about, definitely.
Yeah, I think maybe in the next few years we'll probably find out some more information, but will we be able to cope? That's the question.
And
Well,
Rachel.
if there are such things as spirits, and we're witnessing that, and we do go to another life after death, why can't there be aliens?
Absolutely. And Rachel, you actually investigated for the FBI UFO sightings, didn't you, last October?
Yeah, I was Scully. Mulder got abducted, so he didn't make it,
No.
did he? Watch this space, everyone.
The truth is out there,
And Agent Hughes is going to find it. Right, so just to finish off, we'll just do a very short round of Would You Rather? I thought I've got two teenage boys and they love to play this with me, but I'll be a bit kinder to you than they are to me. My first question is going to go to Chris. Would you rather be stuck in a haunted forest or a haunted house?
Which is more active?
You can't ask questions.
I'm going to go for the classic haunted house. I think when you're in a forest, you can hear animals and be confused about what that sound is. So I'm going to go for the haunted house.
Right. What about you, Rachel? Haunted forest or haunted house?
I'd probably go for the haunted house as well, only because forests have animals and all sorts of things. But then again, you might come across a Pendle witch or something. You never know.
You never know. What about you, Tom? Trapped in a haunted forest or a haunted house?
I'd say house as well, just for the fact that, I'd rather be stuck in a house with ghosts than maybe come across sort of other people late
That
at night
is
in a
the thing.
forest.
Yeah, exactly. That is much more scary, the idea of who's lurking in the forest than what's lurking in the forest. Right, okay, next one. So I'm afraid we're being trapped again. It's a bit of a theme here. Rachel, would you rather, sorry, would you rather be trapped in a room with a haunted doll or a haunted clown?
A doll or a clown? Oh, right. Both, I don't mind. I don't mind at all. Clowns are a little bit creepy, but yeah, I don't know really. I'll have to pick one though, won't I? Yeah, I'll go with a doll. We'll leave the clown.
Right, okay. Tom.
Again, either, but I'll say clown to be different.
Okay. I'm trying to find out people's fears here. Chris.
I'm not afraid of either. I'm gonna go for
Ah.
the doll.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. Well, I think we've proved the fact that you are definitely qualified, all three of you, to be paranormal investigators, because some people crumble at the thought of being stuck in a room with a doll or a clown. But you're obviously very brave. Well, it's been really nice having you on. I really enjoyed talking to you. And I hope we all meet at Festival of the Unexplained in September. And then after that, we need to make another date to come on here and talk about it and talk about all the shenanigans that go on there. It is really fun, and also what's really fun is when you get to 2 o'clock in the morning and you don't want to go to bed because you're having such fun, and someone goes, "I know what, let's go out into the graveyard and do an investigation," which is what happened last year. So there were loads of us kind of tromping around drunk in our party outfits at 4 o'clock in the morning, trying to do some sort of that serious investigation in the graveyard.
I'm up for
Yeah,
that.
I think we should all do that.
Sounds great.
All right, well, thank you so much for coming on. It's been fantastic. I'll say thank you and goodbye to Rachel. And thank you and
Bye.
goodbye to Chris.
Goodbye.
And thank you and goodbye to Tom.
Goodbye.
See you later. Take care.
And
Bye.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, guys. That was a really good talk, and I really look forward to seeing what else you do on YouTube and to meeting you when we go to the Festival of the Unexplained. Now, don't forget, everybody, we need to get you down to your UFO identified Southeast Division on Monday, the 6th of May, to come and talk to me about all things UFO. So I'll be really looking forward to that. And then you also need to send me your experiences to paranormal or what podcast at outlook.com. That's paranormal or what podcast at outlook.com. Okay. Now, the other thing is that you need to maybe give me a ring and leave me a voice note, because I now have a phone number that you can ring and leave me a voicemail. And you can talk about your experiences, and then I will use the recording and put it on the podcast. If you don't want your voice used, you can let me know and I can read it out for you. Or you can just send me the email with your story on and I will read it out for you. So you can call me on 07935 100 162. That's 07935 100 162. Okay? Don't forget to do it. And I will look forward to hearing from you later. So, until next week, take care. And you know what? Together we can figure it out. Night.